The Lord will look upon it and require it. Chapter 104, 2 Kings 12, 2 Chronicles 24, 1 through 14. Again, a king lives in the royal palace at Jerusalem. For 6 years there was no king, but there was a queen. That queen was the crafty, false Athaliah. She is dead, and Judah and Benjamin are governed again by a king. A king? Ah, and he is still but a child, a boy of 7 years. He is Joash, who was rescued by his aunt Jehosheba. But how can that youth rule? Wouldn't he much rather play? Joash is far too young to reign. It is impossible for him to govern the land. His uncle Jehoiada governs the land for him. Later, when Joash becomes older and wiser, he will gradually take over the government from Jehoiada. Then Joash will reign himself, while the God-fearing high priest will advise him in all things. The youthful King Joash goes to Jehoiada with every difficult matter, asking the high priest what he should do and how he should handle the matter. The king listens to Jehoiada and always follows his advice. He has respect for his old uncle, to whom he owes so much gratitude. You can be sure that Jehoiada never gave the king wrong advice. He instructs him in the laws of the Lord and shows the king how he must govern the people. Those years were years of prosperity for the kingdom of Judah. The Lord blessed that nation because they walked in the ways and decrees of the Lord. This is what we read in the Bible. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. One day Joash called all the priests and Levites together. It was a large gathering. They are anxious to know why the king has called them. Why must they come? Joash informs them of his plans. The house of the Lord had been closed for many, many years, and of course the building was not kept in repair during all those years. Therefore the temple had fallen into decay. The walls were cracked, and other things were broken. In short, the temple had great need of being reconditioned. Besides, the golden cups and plates of the Lord's temple were stolen by the sons of Athaliah and brought into the temple of Baal. This made them unclean, so they could never again be used for the worship of the Lord. Joash saw and realized the temple looked so ragged, and he was annoyed by it. He thought, a change must be made. It should not remain thus. For this reason, he calls the priests and Levites together. He commands them to collect money to be used to fix up the house of the Lord and to rebuild where it was necessary. They must go through the land and ask for money wherever they go. Make haste, he says to them. The longer the temple remains unrepaired, the worse it will become. But we read in the Bible that the Levites did not hasten. Probably they disliked traveling through the entire land and dreaded the thought. Years pass, and nothing happens. The temple remains as it was. Finally, the king becomes impatient. He speaks to Jehoiada about it and asks him why the Levites didn't do what he commanded. The king comes with a new plan. Jehoiada must place a large chest in the temple with a groove in the cover. When the Israelites would come to the temple to offer, they must put their gifts into this chest. Jehoiada immediately executes this command. The chest is made and placed at the entrance of the gate of the Lord's house. It looks like a gigantic savings bank. It is made known throughout the entire land that money is needed for the repair of the temple. The people rejoice when they hear this and give a great deal of money for that purpose. Soon the chest is heavy from all the money that was cast into it. A few people empty it. They carefully count the money and take it to the king. The empty chest is again put in the same place. It isn't long before it must be emptied again and again. Very much money is deposited into the chest. It is given to the carpenters and masons who fix the temple and repair what is broken. The large building is inspected thoroughly from the bottom to the top and completely repaired. When they finally have finished this work, they find there is still money on hand. They buy gold and silver with this money and make new gold and silver plates and cups, which will be used in the services of the Lord. Everything looks neat and beautiful again, and it is a pleasure to see it. Look at all those people standing together in Jerusalem. What is going on? The inhabitants stand together talking and continually look toward the end of the street. It seems as though they are waiting for something. There they come. There they come. They suddenly say with muffled voices. Not gladness, but sadness can be heard in their voices. Slowly a long procession approaches. In front a few men walk with a stretcher, a bier between them. A dead person lies upon this stretcher. This procession is a funeral. As the procession walks by, loud, mournful tones are heard. Many, yes, most all, are deeply affected. They walk in the direction of the graves of the kings. Who is dead? Could it be the king? No, it is not the king. Everyone knows the deceased and thought a lot of him. Who is he? He is the old God-fearing priest, Jehoiada. He is being taken to the grave. He became very old. He lived 130 years. He had many experiences. Happy days and sad days were interchanged during his long life. Now the Lord has taken this old high priest to himself into eternal glory. It is true he was no king. Still, he receives a kingly burial. The long procession stops at the royal burial place. His dead body is laid into the grave with the kings of Judah, and there it will rest until the day that the Lord Jesus will come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. The people purposely give him this honorable burial place, and that is his due, for as a man he deserved it. During his life, he always sought the welfare of his nation and of the kings of the house of David. Now the people still honor him after his death by burying him with the kings of Judah. They that honor me, I will honor, are the words of the Lord. We see these words fulfilled here in Jehoiada. The idol images are set up again in all places of the land, and the destroyed altars are rebuilt. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem again worship the idols. But does Joash, the king, permit this? Alas, yes, he does. After the death of Jehoiada, the princes and the rulers of Judah and Benjamin came to the king and asked him if they could worship the idols again, and the king gave his consent. That was pitiful. O Joash, how can you approve of such a thing? Have you forgotten Jehoiada so soon? Do you have the courage to cast his faithful and well-meant advice to the wind? Yes, boys and girls, Joash forsakes the Lord. By this we can see that Joash did not serve the Lord in truth. He did it only because he did not want to grieve Jehoiada. As soon as Jehoiada died, Joash leaves the established laws of the Lord. He dare not refuse the friendly request of the princes. He is afraid of their displeasure. Joash is not concerned about whether he offends and angers the Lord by doing this. He would prefer the honor of the people above the blessing of the Lord. Still, the Lord will warn him. Zechariah, the priest, the son of Jehoiada, reprimands the king for his sins. Why trespass ye the commandments of the Lord? He asks Joash, and continues seriously, O king, the Lord will not bless you, but he will punish you. Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. You will not prosper. However, Joash will not listen to this admonishing voice, but he becomes angry. The people will not listen either. They also become angry with Zechariah. Shortly after this, an enraged crowd push into the temple and stone Zechariah. Joash, the king, commanded them to do it. Bleeding, the faithful priest falls to the ground. With his dying lips, he says in a whisper, "The Lord look upon it and require it." O children, this is a dreadful history. Joash is very unthankful. He had to thank Jehoiada for his own life. Now the son of Jehoiada is stoned upon his orders. Isn't that horrible? Zechariah said, "The Lord look upon it and require it. The Lord will avenge that innocent shed blood of this priest." Hazael, the king of Syria, invades the kingdom of Judah with a small army. Joash meets the enemy with a large army. The large army of Joash is totally defeated by the small army of Hazael. Thousands are slain. Many rulers and princes are killed by the Syrians. The hostile army returns to their own country laden with gold and silver. Besides, Joash becomes seriously ill. At once the nation is plunged into great misery. Their prosperity is gone. Sadness and poverty prevail throughout the land, and all because of their own guilt. All this has come because they have forsaken the Lord. While Joash lay sick unto death upon his bed, he was murdered by his own servants. He reigned over Judah and Benjamin 40 years. He still was young when death came upon him. When he was murdered, he was only 47 years of age. A burial procession again walks through the streets of Jerusalem. Another dead person is being buried. This time the carriers do not go to the royal burial place, even though a king is being buried. Joash, who was murdered upon his bed, is being brought to his last resting place, although not to the graves of the kings. This is a dishonor and a shame upon the king. Children, the people would not bury Joash in the same grave wherein Jehoiada was resting. This wicked, unthankful sovereign didn't belong there, for he stoned the son of his benefactor. This is the sad ending of Joash, who reigned so well at first, but who shamefully forsook the mercies of the Lord. O children, this is a serious warning for us. Who among you will do the same as Joash did? It happens very often that children, who in their youth bowed their knees with their God-fearing father or mother, later will serve the world and miserably come to their end. Many begin well, but do not persevere. They forget the many serious warnings of their parents. Will you also do that? We do not know. Ask the Lord if he will keep you. If you will still do it, I have but one message for you, and that message is, the Lord will look upon it and require it.